As are your prayers, we look at the scriptures for a little while this evening. I've written on the board, yield not. Satan challenges all human flesh. Even Jesus was not immune or exempt from that. We have record of the enemy coming to him and tempting him after he had been fasting for quite some time, and the enemy came to try to persuade him to go against his the principles of the mission that his father had sent him to do. And you and I have to reckon with all the wiles of the devil, how that he will do everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy. He will present options to you and me and allow us the opportunity to exercise the will, of course, that God has given to us. This evening, I trust when we're done that this will be a little, maybe as much as a teaching as it is a message. So I desire your prayers. I'd like to begin with the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. One scripture in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. Now, two words I'd like for us to look at here. One is entice. Entice means to lure, to invite, to persuade, or to urge. My son, if sinners lure thee, invite thee, persuade thee, urge thee, consent thou not. The word consent means to agree, permit, grant permission. So, my son, if sinners would lure, invite, persuade or urge thee, don't agree. Don't permit. Don't grant permission for what they are presenting to you. You and I will be challenged different times, different ways. We'll have opportunities. Maybe there will be those who are in your circle of acquaintances who will present opportunities for you, and they will entice you to partake of things that you ought not partake of. Consent not to that. There's a part that you and I have to play, an active part in this, where we have to make the choice and decision which direction we're going to take. Now I'd like to go to the book of James, chapter 1. Familiar passage to us. James chapter 1, verse 13 says this: Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. The word in 14th verse, lust, is from the Greek word epithumeo, and it is more than just maybe what our English word, what we translate from our English word, but it means it's what he sets his heart on. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He also said in that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:27-28, concerning adultery. You have heard it and said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So there is a deeper level here of yielding to temptation, even though there isn't a physical action that takes place. It comes from the heart. And that then there is a decision to prove forward with that, to take action. Even if the action does not take place, if there is the opportunity and the desire for it to take place, that's where we have to be careful. We have yielded ourselves to that inordinate desire. So whatever he sets his heart on. So I'd like to consider it this way. Two Christians can have the same temptation set before them. One fails, the other resists. What makes the difference? What makes the difference between the two? It's the attitude of the individual. Nothing from within, nothing from without, rather, is able to bring sin into any will. Let's look at Eve. Look at the situation with Eve. God created a beautiful world. And when he was finished, he looked upon it and said it was very good. There was not anything that God created that was sinful or wicked. There was a tempter. There was an adversary. The adversary presented to Eve an alternative. Eve considered the alternative. Scripture tells us that the Lord had told her, don't touch the tree. Don't go near it. Don't flirt around with it, lest you die. But the tempter said, you'll not surely die. So she began the process of looking at the tree. The Scripture tells us that she saw the tree and the fruit that was on it, and it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she reached forth and she partook. The tree is not why she yielded. Satan is not why she yielded. The fruit on the tree is not why she yielded. And certainly it is not because of God that she yielded. She yielded because of something within her that made the choice to reach out to what was presented. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own heart. That thing that is within him, that's something that resides within the man. He is tempted when he is drawn away of whatever is in his own heart and enticed. He's enticed by that. He agrees to go along with that. And when he does, it gives him a problem. So, every man is tempted by something that is inside. That's something that you and I need to really pay attention to. We ought to really give consideration to. It's not the external things. They are just tools. They are things that present themselves to us. There's a story about a little boy. His mother told him he was going to go outside and they live near the sea. His mother told him, don't go swimming. He'd been outside for quite a little while. When he came back, it was obvious he was soaking wet and he had been swimming. And she asked him, why did you go swimming when I told you you shouldn't go swimming? He said, well, Mother, I had my swimming trunks with me. You see, and the story goes that if he hadn't had his swimming trunks with him, he wouldn't have gone swimming. Now, I would submit to you that if he had had enough desire to go swimming, he would have gone with or without swimming trunks. But when she said, don't go swimming, and he went outside, he took them with him. You see, those things that you and I have with us, those things that we carry with us, those things that are internal to us, each and every one of us, folks, Every one of us has the idiosyncrasies of the individuality that God knows and that Satan knows. And He will present to you in whatever area He knows that you can be touched. In whatever area that may be, the enemy of our souls knows that. Now, he knows that he can't cause you, he can't make you do what he presents to you. He can't force you to do that. That goes against the will of God. That goes against the power that God has given to you and me to say yes or no. But the things that he presents to us are things that he is relatively sure that will something inside of us can or will respond to. And when we're presented with that opportunity, whatever it may be, whatever your weakness is, whatever it is, whatever the enemy might present, then I have the decision that I must make at that point whether I'm going to allow the dealings of my heart, my own heart. You know, that can be a real awakening experience. Suddenly a temptation presents itself, and I find that when that temptation is presented, that there is something inside of me that is stirred. And I have to acknowledge, folks, if we'll be honest with ourselves, we will have to acknowledge that there is something there that the enemy knows to work on. It's in the heart. It is there. It has the ability to cause me to make a choice to go the wrong way. I have to will one way or the other. We had a little question here a while ago. The two Christians, two people presented with the same subject. One sees it one way, one sees it one way. They're both standing there looking at it, or a presentation of it, whatever it may be. One listens to it, one entertains it, as Eve did. You see, there wasn't anything that took place with the temptation presented to Eve until she reached forth and she partook of what was presented to her, and she ate. The temptation was there. The opportunity was there. The presentation was there. All of that was there. But something down inside of her caused her to be willing to respond to that. Folks, we can't blame anything about this temptation business. When we're tempted, if we fall, if we fail in temptation, we have no one to blame but ourselves. Have no one to blame but my own heart, my own mind, my own thoughts, my own wants. Those are the things that cause me to do the things to yield to a temptation. I'm reminded of something that Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14. Remembering now that he was tempted. Satan came and tempted him with the three temptations. And now it is time. He's basically finished his earthly ministry in John chapter 14, verse 30. He says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me." Hath nothing in me. Oh, what a blessed place to be. What a blessed place to be. That the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, can present himself in the keenest, sharpest hour of our Lord's life, knowing what was before him, knowing what was ahead for him. The prince of this world comes, and he hath nothing in me. Knowing that in just a little while, oh, the picture. The picture as we read what Jesus endured, what he suffered, when they mocked him, when they did everything they could to cause him to try to respond and react, and he was still, and he was quiet. Pilate said, "Don't you know what I can do to you? Don't you know the power that I have? You could have no power at all except my Father had given it to you." Those are the words of the Master. And I say to you this evening, I've got work to do on myself to come to that kind of a place. Probably all of us do. Because there are things, as a human being, there are things that touch each one of us. There are opportunities that Satan knows will touch my heart and your heart. He knows your propensities. He knows your idiosyncrasies. He knows all of those things that can cause you to respond and react. And folks, he'll do everything he can to touch those things and bring you that opportunity. But Jesus said, the prince of this world comes. He hath nothing in me. So here comes Judas and all the soldiers. Judas goes to the Lord and kisses him on the cheek. Jesus says, Judas, do you betray me with a kiss? And they arrest him. Peter draws a sword, comes down on Malchus, takes off his ear. Jesus says, Peter, put up your sword. They that live by the sword will perish by the sword. Put up your sword. And he reached out and he restored Malchus' ear. They put a purple robe on him. And they knelt before him in mockery. They gave him a reed, as it would have been a rod, a scepter, plaited a crown of thorns, pressed it on his head, blindfolded him, spit in his face, slapped him, said, prophesy, who did this to you? Who did these things to you? The prince of this world cometh, he hath nothing in me. Hanging on the cross, gambling for his clothes, all of those things that the Lord endured, the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. All of those things was an opportunity for him to respond. I could call for my father to send the legions of angels, and this would all be over. But he didn't respond to that. He didn't do it. He could have, but he didn't do it. I say to us folks that we have a challenge presented to us every day. The things that the enemy presents to us, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own heart, his own epithumio, what he sets his heart on, what he sets his heart on. I'll tell you, folks, those things that you and I, we ought to sometimes stop, get in a quiet place and do inventory. Lord, what do I set my heart on? If it's not anything to do with you, if it's something outside of you, the enemy has something that he can draw on. You see? And then when that time comes and he presents me with that opportunity, I have to do one or the other. I have to resist and push away, or I make my choice to accept. My son, if sinners lure thee, invite thee, persuade thee, urge thee, consent thou not, don't agree, don't grant permission. Don't permit them. Don't permit yourself to go with that crowd. Don't permit yourself to follow that path. If they urge, lure, invite, persuade, and bring to you all kinds of convincing arguments and reasons why we should do the things that we're going to present to you, remember, remember, nothing from without is able to bring sin into any will. It takes a response from the individual in order for that to take place. Thank God, folks, for the lesson we have for our Lord Jesus. Thank God for the Scriptures. Thank God for the warnings that it gives us where it tells us, don't let these things persuade you. If you're presented with these things, if you're enticed and challenged by these things, don't consent. Don't yield. When James says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't make the mistake of yielding to these things when they present themselves. I appreciate the Word of God. I appreciate what it tells us to do and how we should do, how we should conduct ourselves. And folks, if we take anything away from this evening, remember, remember, within the heart of every human being, there is something there that can respond to the enemy of our souls. If we allow it. If we allow it. We don't have to allow it. That is up to us. We have the power to make that decision and that choice. And when we make that decision and that choice, God will honor that. Satan has to honor that because we say no. We have a song. Oh, I can't remember what book it's in. This song says, "Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always. And rest on His Word," I believe it says. Feed on His Word. Take time to be holy. And one verse says, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin," I believe it says. A different song? All right. But this song, "Take Time to Be Holy," is a good song. It takes effort on our part, folks, to make these things work. We have to be willing to exercise discipline on ourselves. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. God bless each one is my prayer. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Amen.